Turning your Bibles, please, this morning to the Psalms. I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 25 for the message this morning. You're going to need your Bible this morning, so if you do not have one, there's one in the hymn rack in front of you, and feel free to use that one. But Psalm 25 is where we will begin this morning, and if you'll turn there, please. I'd like to read just one verse of Scripture. I would like to read the whole psalm to you, but for the sake of time, I won't do that. But I'll just read one verse, but keep your Bible open and a couple of things to refer back to in the psalm as we go through the introduction of the sermon. The 14th verse is the verse that I have chosen as my text this morning. And this is a psalm of David. And in this psalm, the 14th verse, David says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant." Now let me again emphasize the first part of this psalm. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. I want to speak to you this morning on the secret of the Lord. And I want you to pray with me right now, and we'll ask the Lord to give us understanding of the message today and to help us to get a little grasp on what the psalmist is saying from this passage. So let's pray. Our Father, as we come to You, we're so thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ still saves from sin. Lord, we're thankful for all the promises in the Word of God. And Lord, once we're saved, we have so much that is ours and so much that we need to know and need to understand so that we can claim. And Lord, as we look at this verse of Scripture this morning, help us to understand that there is a place to where we can flee, that we now, because of that blood and because of our salvation, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we are Your children, Lord, we have available to us a fellowship. And we have available to us a relationship with the God of heaven. And so, Lord, as we look at these verses today, I pray that You will bless. Lord, give me Your blessing. Help me to speak clearly and distinctly and to be able to communicate the thoughts that are on my heart. But, Lord, I also want to pray that You will give each and every one of us the ability to give our undivided attention. That, Lord, we might think through the principles that are given and might be able to see how they relate to each and every individual life. So, Lord, bless us today and fill me with Your Spirit and enable and help me as I preach. But, Lord, also bless our folks as they listen. And, Lord, we'll give You praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning and tonight on a very unusual word that's found in the Scripture. You will notice in verse 14, we see the psalmist speak of the secret of the Lord. I want to speak to you this morning on this secret of the Lord. It's a very unusual word, and I want to speak on it again tonight. I will preach tonight, not from the same text, from another text, but speak to you tonight on another aspect of the secret of the Lord. This great psalm is one that was written by King David. And it was a psalm that really, when you read it, you will understand that it was written during the time when David was facing dire circumstances. You can almost hear the psalmist weeping as you read the verses of the 25th psalm. The singer is depressed by sorrow, and yet he realizes that he cannot stay in that sorrowful condition. He realizes that he's got to get out of it. So he rises above it, and the sob becomes a psalm. It's a wonderful psalm, and I would encourage you to read the entire thing after a while when you get home. Now, there are three paragraphs in this psalm. The first seven verses constitute a prayer. And then the last seven verses constitute or continue a second prayer. And the middle seven verses, the second paragraph, contains a meditation and a declaration of the goodness of God. it's almost like the psalmist is praying and he's pouring out his heart, pouring out his soul, letting God know that that he's going through difficulty. And then he stops and he just forgets all about his problems and he starts bragging about God. He starts saying some wonderful things about how God is good and upright and how he will guide the meek in judgment and how he will teach the meek his way, and talks about how good God is to those of us that know him. And then in the final part, he goes back to his song and he starts moaning and groaning again, telling the Lord the burdens and the concerns of his heart. So in between the moaning and the groaning of the first paragraph and the moaning and the groaning of the second third paragraph, we have this second paragraph that deals with a positive and uplifting note that that really rises above the two funeral dirges on either end and gives you an uplifting and a positive psalm. Now, out of that middle paragraph, I want to take my text this morning because it is, in my opinion, the secret of the song in the midst of sorrow. How to sing in the midst of sorrow. How to have a joyful heart in this old wicked world that we live in. It is the explanation of the reason why this man was able, even in the day of darkness, to lift his face towards heaven and smile. It is impossible to read this second paragraph and miss the point that the psalmist has found the secret of rising above life's troubles. And so he says and sums it up in the 14th verse. And I think this is the key verse to the psalm. He says, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant." I want to speak this morning to every person who has even a hint of sorrow in your soul. In other words, I want to speak to every person in this room this morning. There is not a one of us that does not have something that is troubling our hearts. There's not a one of us that does not have something that brings a little bit of sorrow to our hearts. And so I want to speak to you this morning, and I beg you to give me your undivided attention. I want to try to preach to you this morning, or at least attempt to lead those of us that are in sorrow, that are dealing with the stress of life, that are dealing with strains and difficulties in life of any kind, to an examination of this wonderful word of encouragement that comes from the psalmist. Listen, Christian, you don't have to live in the doldrums all the time. You don't have to walk around with your face dragging the ground. You don't have to be discouraged and defeated and down all the time. The Bible gives us an illustration or an example of a place where you can flee and where you can find comfort and encouragement in this sorrow-driven life that we live in. And the psalmist calls this place in our text the secret of the Lord. Now, I've got 2 points to my sermon this morning. The first one is the long one. The second one is brief. And in the second one, I will tie together everything that I give you in the first point. So please listen carefully and come to church with us and follow along. When I ask you to turn, please turn and see the truth that unveils from this 14th verse. The first point of the message this morning is this. I want you to think of the blessing that is referred to in this verse. I want you to think about the blessing that is referred to. Now, usually when you hear the word secret, what does that infer? Well, that infers that it's something you know that nobody else knows. And so in order for all of us to find out and to understand what the psalmist meant when he spoke about the secret place, we're going to all discover this secret place together. The psalmist says, "The secret of the Lord." Now, folks, we've got to be real careful with that word. In tonight's message, I'm going to take you to Deuteronomy 29:29. In that great verse, Moses tells us that the secret things belong to God. He then goes on to tell us about the revealed things belong to us. But the secret things belong to God. I prepared that message first. I was working on that sermon, and when I was preparing that sermon, it gave me a direction to go to Psalm 25. And I looked up Psalm 25, and I read it, and then I took the concordance, and I noticed that the Hebrew word that is in Deuteronomy 29, which I was studying at the time, was not the same word as is found in the text that I read for you from Psalm 25. It is a completely different word, and it means something completely different than the one in Deuteronomy. Now, I was all fired up and excited about the sermon from Deuteronomy. And then I thought, oh, my soul, looky here. There is something else that is here. And thus the message came this morning. But I'm going to tie them together for you tonight, so you got to come back tonight. And to be honest with you, I would rather you hear tonight's sermon than this morning's sermon. Don't anybody get up and go home and say, well, I'll be back tonight. But I would prefer that you hear tonight's sermon over this morning's sermon. But the secret place of the Lord. In studying the Hebrew word for secret, I found that this verse of Scripture, and I looked up this word, and that led me to in a whole other direction. And so I want to show you this one. Then I'll show you the other one tonight. But first of all, this word "secret" that's in our text. It is a fascinating word. It is an amazing word. And it is so rich and so full of information and picture. And I want to define it for you this morning. Now, the way I'm going to define it is I'm going to ask you to help me define it. In asking you to help me, here's how we're going to do it. I'm not going to have you preach. I'm going to have you turn to some scripture, and I'm going to read that scripture for you, and we're going to come to a realization and an understanding of what the secret of the Lord is by letting the Bible define the term secret. The meaning of the word. The first verse that I want you to look up is found in Psalm 111. Turn over to Psalm 111 with me, please. Is it hot in here? I am about to burn up. Yes, I'm on fire. I'm going to get on fire here in just a minute. Psalm 111, look at verse 1. The first time that I want to call to your attention, it's not the first time it's mentioned. There's no order in these, except for the order that I have given them. I'm doing it for a reason. You'll see it in a moment. But verse 1, the psalmist here says, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the," what's the next word? "Assembly." Now, folks, that is the exact same word as what is found in Psalm 25 and verse 14. It's the exact same word, only this time it is translated "assembly." Now, in checking that word, I thought, okay, I think I know what the assembly is, but let me make sure that I understand it properly. And here is what the assembly is. You and I today would understand that word "assembly" this way, a council. Now, Tuesday night, we're going to have our council meeting, our monthly council meeting in the church. All of our deacons, I think 16 or 17 deacons, and I will meet up in the school building in the library conference room, and we will sit and we will pray and we will look at the Bible and we'll pray and we'll talk about the finances and go over the reports and just keep an eye on the church. I thank the Lord for the council that we have here in this church. Folks, I hope you pray for the men that serve as deacons in this church. But I thank God for them. Thank God that when we get together, it is a real council. It is not what I have been used to in the past. In the past, I've had deacons meetings, we used to call them. I've had deacons meetings where you go in at 7 o'clock, you take your coat off, roll your sleeves up, put your boxing gloves on, and say, okay, who's first? And that's sort of the mindset and the mentality that most councils have. Thank God I don't have that here. We have a council from the perspective that it is intended here in this passage of Scripture. And David said, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly, in the council. Now, the word council here is the same word. The word assembly is the same word that is found in our text in Psalm 25. Here, the word, listen carefully now, here the word is used in its very simplest sense. A sense more truly in harmony with its root idea. The idea is that of a company of people, listen to me now, a company of people sitting together who are of one mind and of one heart, separated from everything else, separated from strangers and outsiders, unified, they've got a single purpose, and they are in absolute agreement with one another. And that's the word council. C-O-U-N-C-I-L. A group of people, an assembly that get together, but the idea here is that there's unity. There is harmony. The ideal presented by the psalmist is that of gathering together with people who have no disagreements, no controversy between them. They are a perfect company. Now, folks, as far as I can tell, there has really only been one time when there has been such a gathering. And that was on the day of Pentecost when the 120 were gathered in the upper room. And the Bible says that they were in one accord and they had all things common. It was soon lost. And we have not regained it since. But that's the idea of the word. Jehovah, God, sits in council, that is, in perfect union, perfect harmony with those that fear Him. It suggests a perfect friendship. It suggests that there is agreement, and so much of an agreement that no word has to be spoken back and forth. It suggests a friendship that is equal to absolute silence. Not a friendship that must be silent, but a friendship that can be silent. Now, let me explain what I mean. You have a lot of people that you are acquainted with, do you not? But you don't have that large a number of people that you would consider dear, close friends. You feel that you have to entertain your acquaintances. You feel that you have to talk or you have to speak or they'll think something's wrong with you. You know, one of the biggest pressures I have on me when I come here on Sunday is that I have to speak to every single person that I come within eye contact with. And I've got to shake hands with the overwhelming majority of those or somebody says to me, "Are you mad at me?" You know, it's a fine line that I have to walk. And so right now, just get it out of the way. Good morning, everybody. So you can't go home today and say I didn't speak to you. Amen. But the point is, you have some folks that you're real close to, but there's other folks that you're not. You feel like you have to entertain the people that you're not closely associated with, but with your close friends, you can be silent and you don't have to worry about it. They know you, you know them, they know your heart, you know their heart, and that's the idea that is found in Psalm 111. Sitting in council, the idea of the secret of the Lord. Now, my question is, do you have this kind of relationship with God? I mean, folks, sometimes you can go to God and just say, "Dear Heavenly Father," and you don't have to beg for anything. Sometimes you can just go to the Lord and say, "Father," and He hears, and He knows your heart. By the way, God looks on the heart anyway, and there are some times when the burden that we feel is so much, so great that we don't say anything. We just go to the Lord with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we just simply fall before the Lord, and we're silent. God knows our heart. We know God's heart. And man, that is a sweet time of fellowship with the Lord. You got the first one? All right, so that's the first one. Now, turn back in your Bible to Psalm 55. Boy, I had this written down wrong in the first service. Whew, man, my heart went down in my shoes. I was one chapter off. And somebody just happened to look over at 55:14 and said, "It's in verse 14. I said, "Oh, thank you. Because I had no idea where it was. Look, please, at verse 14 of Psalm 55. Now, here's our second word. We're letting the Bible define the word secret. Look, please, at verse 14. We took sweet, what's the next word? Counsel. Now, you'll notice this is C-O-U-N-S-E-L. That is a different word than the first one. Counsel. Counsel. Don't try to do that in a hurry. All right, you see the difference? Counsel. Psalm 55, verse 14. We took sweet counsel together. Folks, that word counsel is the exact same Hebrew word as is found in our text. So we're letting the Bible define the word secret. First thing we learned is that we can sit with God. We don't have to say anything. God doesn't have to say anything to us. We can just sit with God. We have that relationship with Him. We have that closeness. We have that right. And we can just sit with Him. But now we have a second word. And it's the same word, only this time it's translated counsel. And here's the idea. The word counsel in the first one, we saw where two could sit together in silence. With this one, the suggestion is different. Here, the silence is broken and we find conversation taking place. We took sweet counsel together. So you see, there's communication between both parties. We're speaking to God. God is speaking to us. The use of the word counsel suggests the freedom in speech that comes when friends understand each other. In other words, you feel at liberty with a close friend to be able to discuss things that you could not discuss with somebody else. We spoke to each other in the way, amid the busy throng, in the courts of the temple. We spoke and we said the things that were on our hearts. That's the idea behind it. And there is discussion. There is conversation. People come to me all the time and they say, Pastor, can I talk to you? Would you counsel me on this? What are they saying? They're saying, let me tell you my problem, and then you tell me what you think about my problem and how I can fix it. That's counseling. And that's the word that is translated or used here in this passage. It's the same word, secret, but it gives us a definition. Folks, you as a Christian have a God that you can go to no matter what you're facing, no matter what the problem, no matter what the heartache, you have a God that you can go to and He is there for counseling. And He's not going to rebuke you for coming. He's not going to scold you for coming. I remind you that James said that we are to pray. And if we lack wisdom, we're to pray and ask God to give us wisdom. And He said that God upbraideth us not. God does not scold us when we come to Him and ask for His counsel. What a wonderful interpretation God gives us here in this book. People ask me all the time, say, Pastor, can God speak freely to me? I hear Christians all the time saying this. Well, you know, God doesn't speak to men like He did in times past, like He used to. And I will not argue it except to say that the measure in which that seems to be true is the measure in which men have ceased to talk with Him. You see, folks, our problem today is simply our own problem. It's not that God does not work. It's not that God does not save. It's not that God does not want to use us. It's the fact that we don't talk to Him. We don't talk to Him. So we need to ask ourselves, can God speak freely to me? That's what this word counsel is including. Folks, listen, if I have secrets from God, then God will have secrets for me. But when I am walking with Him, and in close fellowship with Him, He can counsel with me and freely speak to my soul. So there we have two words now that are helping us to define the word secret. Are you following me so far? All right, now take your Bible and turn over to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. We'll look at the third one. Proverbs 3 and verse 32. Now this one is translated secret. It's the same word and it's translated the same way as in our text. But let's look at how it's given and it'll help form our definition. Verse 32, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. His secret is with the righteous. Now folks, look carefully at that. Do you see that? His secret is with the righteous. Now there's your clue. This is the same word as in our text and translated as secret, same as in our text. But the setting of the word suggests another aspect of the same great and wonderful fact. Now, not now in silence, not now that familiar and confidential speech as between two friends that we saw in the last one, which bears all and pours out the deepest and purest thoughts of the heart, but here the thought is rather that of advice and guidance. You will look at it again. It gives you the idea. But his secret is with. And that word with has the idea that that God can give advice. God can guide us. God can give us advice. He can stand behind the man who fears him. And he can whisper in his ear, this is the way, walk ye in it. Folks, listen, there's not a one of us that's not going through the trials and tribulations of life. There's not a one of us that is not having a hard time in some area or aspect. But here's the promise. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. And here is a tremendous truth that the secret is with Him. And that's the idea that when I'm walking through life and I'm going through the struggles and I'm going through the trials, I have one that will stand behind me and will whisper in my ear and give me the direction and give me the way that I'm supposed to go. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And God has promised that for every one of us if we'll just trust Him. Then one more. Turn over to Proverbs 11. Just going over a few chapters to Proverbs 11. And look now, please, if you will, at verse 13. Verse 13, Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Now, this verse seems to have the least to do with our theme. Yet, the word secret here is used in its fullest sense. Let me read it to you again. A talebearer revealeth secrets. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Secrets. What are they? Well, they are particular confidences, the last and most intimate demonstrations of friendship. Now, folks, listen. Just common sense. Just using common sense. The older we get, the least likely we are to have secrets or to talk about secrets. You know, secrets are what little kids do. And the older we are, you see, after you get burned a few times, you learn to keep your mouth shut, don't you? You know, what's the matter? Well, can I tell you a secret? Oh, yeah, you can tell me anything. I'm your friend. And then you tell your friend your secret, and the next thing you know, everybody in Carroll County knows about it. And so you learn, the older you get, you learn to keep your mouth shut. But take two teenagers. More specifically, take two teenage girls who are friends. Now, don't look at me like that. You know it's the truth. The last proof of their friendship is that one tells the other a secret. That's the last proof of their friendship. That one tells the other a secret. Now, why do we stop telling secrets when we get older? It's simple. We don't want somebody to betray our trust. We have all been betrayed by our friends blabbing all over the county what we told them. And here in this verse, the secret of the Lord is with the upright. And here in this verse it says, a talebearer revealeth secrets. Jesus took a little child. Let me see if I can know. Jesus took a little child and he set that little child on his lap. And he said to his disciples, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Oh, God, help us to see the beauty of this. God can tell us his secrets when we fear him. A child trusts the one that he or she is telling their secrets to. And God can tell his secrets to some people. God can tell His secret. Let me illustrate it again. Do you remember that time back in the book of Genesis where there was a conversation among the Godhead, and God said to God, God said to Jesus, or Jesus said to God, or the Holy Spirit said to Jesus, or the Holy Spirit said to God, I don't know which one said what, but there was a conversation among the Godhead. And here's what it said. Shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? For I have known him. And folks, he did not hide from his plan from Abraham. God did not hide his plan. He revealed his plan. He told him what he was going to do. He didn't tell anybody else. Nobody else knew that plan. It was a secret that God shared with Abraham. He didn't tell it to Lot, that old carnal, worldly-minded thing. He didn't tell Lot about it. He left Lot completely out of it. But he did tell it to Abraham, the old-fashioned man of faith, the friend of God, was given a secret from the Lord. Folks, listen, there are some people, are you listening to me? There are some people that God can trust with His secrets. There are some things that God can give you. So many of you in the last 10 years, you've come to me and say, preacher, where do you get this stuff that you preach to? Folks, there are some people that God can trust these secrets to. There are some things, I read that, I don't get that out of that. Well, let me tell you, God help me. Lord, you know I don't know anything. You're going to have to teach me. Lord, you're going to have a couple of thousand people sitting in front of me on Sunday. You've got to give me something to feed them. And you walk with Him and you talk with Him and you pray and you read and you study and you prepare, and God gives you His secrets. You say, oh, I wish I knew the Bible. Listen, folks, you're not going to learn the Bible by osmosis. You can't learn the Bible just because you come and sit in church. You're going to have to devote yourself and dedicate yourself and consecrate yourself to not only know the book, but know the God behind the book. You see what I'm saying? And God will reveal His secrets. Let me illustrate. Do you remember what Paul said over in 2 Corinthians? He was talking about, he said, I knew this man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. He said, such a one, he was talking about himself. He was talking about himself. But he said, I knew a man. You've read this passage. 14 years ago, he said, whether in the body, or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. He said, and such an one was caught up even unto the third heaven and heard unspeakable things which it is not lawful for man to utter. Hey, folks, God told Paul some secrets. God took Paul and showed him something that no other human being experienced. God shared some things with him, and God told him some secrets, and the secrets were what made him, and it was the secrets that drove him, and the revelation of the secret is not the telling of it, but it is the manifestation of the changed and glorified life resulting from it. The secret of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Secrets from the Lord. The secret of the Lord. Do you have some idea from the four verses that we've looked up what it means now? Now let me see if I can tie it together and show you. Let's look secondly at the encouragement for each one of us. Let me quickly name the four references which explain our text. First is the thought of sitting in restful silence because there is agreement, unity, and no disagreement, assembly, a council. You're sitting in agreement, restful silence. Second, council is that of mutual conversation. Just two, sitting and sharing and listening and encouraging one another. Then thirdly, there's the idea of receiving counseling. Receiving counseling, getting direction, getting guidance, getting advice. And fourth, the idea of receiving special confidences, the secret of the Lord. Folks, that is what the psalmist meant. Go back now to the text. That is what the psalmist meant when he said, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Here he is with a broken heart. Here he is, just like you, just like me. Here he is, struggling. He's got Saul chasing him, trying to kill him. He's got people bombarding him from all directions. And life is overwhelming him. He then begins to write, and he prays, and he says, Lord, show me your mercy. Lord, teach me. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so far in over my head, I don't know if I'm going to make it. But then he stops. And he says, wait a minute, I can't live like this. I can't go through life like this. Man, I'm going to go nuts if I don't do something. And so he stops and starts in verse 8 and starts praising God and talking about how wonderful God is. And then he brings himself into the picture in verse 14. And he says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him. Folks, I hope you see, I hope you understand that for all of us with a sorrowful heart, you may find comfort from the Lord. The psalmist is showing us how to find comfort in the midst of the storm. He's showing us that we can say everything. We can tell our friend, the Lord, what is bothering us, what we're dealing with, and God will listen to us and He won't get angry when we do. The secret of the Lord. Who does not long for that as a Christian? I mean, listen, you ought to be sitting here right now saying, man, that's what I want in my Christian life. I want to have that kind of relationship with God where I can go before Him. I don't have to say a word and He doesn't have to say anything to me. It's just a joy to be in His presence. I want that kind of relationship where I can go and I can say, Lord, talk to me, counsel me. Give me some help here. And I can tell the Lord my burden, and the Lord can tell me the solution to my burden. I want that kind of relationship with God where I can go in and I can say, okay, Lord, you see this road that I'm taking, and it's a harrowing road. Lord, you gotta bless, you gotta help me, I'm trusting you. And then you walk that direction, and there He is right by your side, giving you direction. Say, turn right here, turn left here. Duck right here. God will guide you and direct you as you go through life. And then thank God, as you get that relationship and you get that walk, you'll read this Bible and all of a sudden the truths of this Bible will come alive and it won't be just letters on a page. It won't be just reading it for reading it's sake, but it will be the fact that the Holy Spirit of God who authored this book, who lives inside you, will be the God that will teach you and direct you in understanding the things of the Lord. Where is this kind of Christianity today? Where is this kind of Christianity today? You don't see very much of it, that's for sure. Oh, my friends, this is the kind of relationship God wants with us. Now notice, it is available to them that fear Him. That's what the text said. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear the Lord? Listen, you've been saved for years, but seem to always just be discouraged, constantly attacked by defeatism, always down, always struggling. My friend, can I encourage you to look over your slumped shoulders? And if you will, you will see one riding over the waves of despair and conquering the storms of the tossed sea and prevailing over the struggles you are facing. And you'll hear Him whisper in your ear, fear not, it is I, be not afraid. He'll guide you, my friend. That's the secret of the Lord. Do you know about that secret? Did you even know it existed? God reveals it to us right here in His book. Oh, I hope you'll go home and read this over again. Read the verses and understand what that word secret means. And that's the kind of relationship that God wants us to have with Him. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, we thank You for the Word of God, and I pray Your blessings upon it. Oh, dear Lord, help us to desire to be in that secret place. Father, I pray that every single person within the sound of my voice will give serious consideration to the challenge this morning. And Lord, as we think of the battles and the struggles, as we think of all the sorrows that life brings us, who amongst us does not experience those storms? But Father, help us to realize that there is a secret place. That there is a place where we can just saddle right up beside of You. And we can not even have to say a word. Sometimes, Lord, we don't even have to speak. Just being in Your presence is enough. But sometimes we can talk. We can pray, and Lord, You hear and You answer prayer. Lord, sometimes we need some direction. And we don't know where to walk, but in that secret place, we can find guidance. And sometimes, Lord, as we've walked and as we've sought Your will and as we've given our all, we read the Scripture and all of a sudden the Bible becomes alive. Oh, what a joy to learn the precious truths of the Word of God. Lord, thank You for that secret place. And I pray that it will be the desire of every person in this room to want to dwell in the secret place. Later on, the psalmist said that he longed to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Oh, dear Lord, give us that heart to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Give us, I pray, Father, a burden for this kind of relationship with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. How many of you here this morning will say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart this morning. I'm saved and I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about that. And if I died, I know I'm going to heaven. But I tell you, listening this morning, I realize that there's a place where I know very little about. I don't really know too much about this secret place You're talking about, but I want to know. I ask You, Pastor, pray for me this morning. God's burden in my heart about the need to get in that secret place and spend that time with the Lord. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you slip your hand up all over this building and let's pray about this together? Just ask God to touch your heart. Ask God to speak to your heart. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. I see your hands. Thank you. Now, one more question. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You say, Pastor, I'm a good person. Well, but all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Salvation is not in a church and it's not in a man. It's in Jesus. It's not in you. It's in Jesus. Nothing you can do can merit eternal life. But my friend Jesus died on that cross and gave His life so that you could have eternal life. If you're here today and you do not know for sure that you're saved and do not know for sure that you're on your way to heaven, I want you to let God touch your heart this morning. And would you raise your hand right now and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about my soul. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, dear friend? Let me pray and ask God to help you. Just lift your hand and hold it up. Yes, God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Pray for me. Anyone else before we pray? Anybody else? All right. Father, You know our hearts today, and I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will minister to the needs of our hearts. Lord, we pray for these Christians. I pray that You will just move and work in the hearts of Your people, that, Lord, we would have that heart's desire to want to dwell in the secret place. Father, help us now. We've defined it. We've taken the Bible and explained what it is. But Lord, give us, I pray, conviction to where we're moved out of our lethargy and our apathy. And Lord, we just are going to make the difference and do what we know we ought to do. Lord, we just pray that You will speak to the hearts of Your people. And then, Lord, for these that need to be saved, may today be the day of salvation. Oh, dear Lord, do Your work now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.